Is there any question from anyone here?
I have a question from Abhasya.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking about a verse in the Prema Dhamma Stotram.
Yes.
Number 49.
Mm-hmm.
We are told that Sambandha is the knowledge about relationship between the Lord, His energies, and the soul. Abhideha, knowledge about the means to develop these relationships. And Prayojan is the knowledge about the goal of these relationships. Could you please tell more extensively in this verse, 49, what Srila Sridharmar says about it?
The verse, it says, Radhika vinoda matra tattva lakshanandvayam sarusanga krishna nama sadhanaika nishchayam prema sevanaika matra sadhya krishna tatparam prema dhamma devameva nomi gaura sundaram. And it's translated here, it says, in this manner, Lord Gaurangadev taught that all scriptural conclusions, as perfectly passed down by the various spiritual preceptors through the medium of sound, culminate in the embodiment of Sri Radha Vinod, the all-encompassing basis of proper acquaintance with the environment. This means by which one may reach Lord Krishna, the means by which one may reach Lord Krishna is by chanting His holy names, the association of pure devotees, while the ultimate goal is pure love, service to Krishna, who is so dear to the cowherd maidens of Vrindavan. Lord Gaurangadev taught these essential scriptural conclusions in the assembly of scholarly persons. I offer my obeisances to that beautiful Lord, Gauranga Sundar, the divine form of Krishna Prem. So, really, only Srila Guru Maharaj can explain what he means in the Prema Dhamma Deva Stotram. Many times I've heard devotees relatively qualified translate something that he wrote, and it just so happened Guru Maharaj also translated it himself in a talk he was giving or something. So once I said to him privately, what you explained this means and what the translators are saying it means, the same thing is not coming through. And Guru Maharaj said to me, is anything coming through? And I said, yes. And he said, then it has some value. And he said, just like that, when you go to give a class on a particular verse, on a particular sloka, he said, it's not that what you've said is the full representation of everything that could be said about that sloka. But according to your capacity, you try and give some representation. So I just want to remind everyone that there's a huge difference between Guru Maharaj explaining himself what he means about any particular concept, particularly anything he composed in Sanskrit, and then, with all due respect to the translators, as has been pointed out by people who this is their specialty, they say that the saying goes that all translation is interpretation. And that's just a fact. It's interpretation of what is given. It may be a very good interpretation, or it may be a vague interpretation, a general interpretation. It may be an interpretation on level one, an intermediate level, a very high level. As they say, Srila Guru Maharaj himself, in the Hidden Treasure of the Sweet Absolute, the Bhagavad Gita, particular slokas, he's giving a very deep, high-level interpretation of what they could mean. Right? He's very aware of what they normally mean, or how they're normally interpreted, or how they've been interpreted by great commentators on Srimad Bhagavatam. Still, he's saying, this can mean this in a particular circumstance. Right? As he mentions when Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, accompanied by Achyutananda Maharaj, Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, and Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj, they have a conversation in Bengali, and Achyutananda is astonished to see, he can sense that something very profound, something very deep is being conveyed. So at the time, his Bengali was not such that he could penetrate that or grasp it fully. But he later asked Prabhupada, he said, what you were discussing, your talk with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, what was that? And Prabhupada, as he said, if I told you, you would faint. He has very deep realizations of Krishna. So Guru Maharaj himself, later, Jai Paramananda Prabhu Ki Jai. Our cake is not for naught. It's Paramananda Prabhu's birthday. So, anyway, so, and on that regard, once some devotee noticed that their birthday, he looked on the almanac and said, my birthday is on the most inauspicious day of the year. Yeah. And Guru Maharaj said, no, not to, he said, this is very auspicious. This is the life, the birth you got from your mother, father, in this lifetime. This is the life that brought you in connection with the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. It's the most auspicious. So you should also revere that day and celebrate in that way. Oh, I thank you, mother, father, for giving me the birth that I came to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. So we can also appreciate that. But anyway, so Prabhupada told Achyutananda, if I told you, you would faint. He has very high, he's keeping them in, keeping them to himself, pretty much. And later, Srila Guru Maharaj, he himself would reference that conversation. When he was speaking in a particular way, he would say, but you will faint, Swami Maharaj told, you will faint. Meaning, and then he explained what is meant by faint, you won't be able to maintain consciousness there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in some of his songs, Bhikshana Korite, where he compares this to flashes of lightning. Lightning-like flashes of illumination of Krishna conception. And he further says, and if I try to hold that moment, suspend that moment, extend that moment, it vanishes. So it's Krishna's prerogative to reveal himself. And that's a mighty and wonderful thing. The infinite making himself known to the finite. Right? Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo namedayana bahuna shrutena tame vaisha tena labhya vivrinute tena labhyas tashyaisha atma vivrinute tanum shram. Guru Maharaj likes to quote the Upanishads, saying that it's not a question of academic research and study, so much discussion, being very intelligent, intellectually analyzing these things. But he reveals himself to whom he chooses, through whom he chooses. So if we look, there's some mention here in the question about sambandha, abhideya, prayojan. Who did Mahaprabhu reveal these things to? We have the Ramananda Sambad in Chaitanya Charitamrita that is of special note and consideration. But we also have the Rupa Shiksha, Sanatan Shiksha. And we've always been astonished to see the Sanatan Shiksha of Chaitanya Charitamritam, how many volumes it occupies in the Madhya Lila. It's vast. Sanatan Goswami has been described as the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya. So, as Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa for a fortnight, the Dashashramita got, but later, 2 months instructing Sanatan Goswami. So not just to make it simple mathematics, but we can understand what's being given to Sanatan Goswami on the Sambandha Gyan is very extensive. Extensive. Beginning with Sanatan's question, Kayami, Kenyamoy, Jari Tabitroy, Iha Nahijani, Kemoni Hitohoy. It says, who am I? Why am I suffering from Tapitroy, the threefold miseries of material nature? What are they? Atma, but what is the word? Someone must know. No, you have to know. That from the self-inflicted miseries, from bhotik, adi-devik, adi-bhotik, adi-atmik. Thank you. So he's saying, if iha nahi jani, if I don't know this, kamoni hitohoi, then how can I know what is good for me, what's beneficial for me? Hita. Right? Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So, and what is the response in a nutshell immediately? Jive Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas Krishnara Tatasta Shakti Veda Vedrakash. In a nutshell, Mahaprabhu is responding to this. So, when we see what is expressed here, there's, in a general sense, and then something more specific. If we say, Krishna Das, eternal servants of Krishna, that's true in a general sense. Then we find out what types of service to Krishna are there. Right? Then we hear this, Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura. And then subdivisions there. So it goes from the general to the specific. And that is Srila Guru Maharaj's ontological method to go from, reveal gradation. So if we say Krishna Das at the onset, right? But culminating in Radha Dasyam, it's interesting here that it says, Radhika Vinod. Sometimes Guru Maharaj would tell us that from the strict, absolute point of view, well, Saraswati Thakur is wholly given over to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Yes, Gorkhashordas Babaji Maharaj is his guru, but still, Bhakti Vinod is seen in a preeminent position. He said, so much so that in the naming of deities, he's inserting this word, Vinod. I like Radha Vinod here, Radhika Vinod. So, Guru Maharaj mentions that if we, as we hear the pastimes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his story, in a sense, right? It's fascinating and mysterious because he presents himself as someone who is gradually evolving in his Krishna conception, his Gauranga conception, and his Vaishnavata, right? Guru Maharaj says, when we examine the wealth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the extent of the wealth of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that is not something that was achieved in this lifetime of a practitioner who ascended to a particular level of realization and understanding and then presented this wealth of scripture, scriptural understanding, etc. Rather, we conclude on the basis of the extent and the magnitude of the wealth that Bhaktivinoda Thakur descended to this plane to distribute something. But part of that, the Mahabhagavata, descending to the Madhyam position, is he's presenting himself like an ordinary man, because within that will be some hope for the people in general, how we can move from non-Krishna or misconception to Krishna conception proper. So, in his biography, or in some place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying he could not understand how Sri Chaitanya Dev, here in the end it says, he presented these things in an assembly of scholars. Right? Nimai Pandit later becomes Gauranga Mahaprabhu Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the beginning, I could not understand how is it that a scholar like Sri Chaitanya Dev is presenting the debauchery of Krishna as the highest expression of the Supreme Absolute. That's what it appears to be. Right? That's why when we hear slokas like Bikriditam Rajabadu Birijam Idam Chabishnu Shradhan Vito Anushranayad Attabarnayedyak. Bishnu. Saying we understand clearly these are not the pastimes of Vishnu. They're the pastimes of Krishna. Why does it say, right in the heart of the Rasa Leela, mention the name of Vishnu? Because this is Aprakrita Leela. Means it is like mundane, but not appears to be mundane. So as Sukadev sees the raised eyebrows of the audience before him, who he informed in the beginning with Jugupsitam Dharma Krite Anushasana Sloka that, quote, Narada to Vyas, that he said, what you've given in the form of all these literatures, the famous Veda Vyas, he says, it's condemnable. Now, he said, now we're going to present to you the full, pure, the Amala Puranam, the spotless truth and evidence. And what is that? The jugupsitam, the condemnable, apparently condemnable activities of Krishna. Right? Hey, Krishna. So these, the audience, they're astonished to hear. Now this Sukadev, the legendary Sukadev Goswami, right, who when he walked past the Dibya Devis bathing naked in the kunda, they didn't bother to cover themselves because they saw not even a trace amount of exploiting tendency in his glance. Whereas for the great Veda Vyas, Krishna Dwaipayana Veda Vyas, Shaktivesh, Avatar, Bhagavan, Badarayana, Vedavyas, Bhagavan, Badarayani. They covered themselves, right? But not for Sukadev. Because Sukadev was to be the instrument for expression of the ultimate expression of the loving pastimes of the supreme entity, Krishna. Right? Parinishtitopi nairgunye uttamasloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarse akyanam yadaditavan. The legendary Sukadev, liberated in the womb of his mother, never under the influence of Maya, right, offered the presidential seat in the assembly of all these scholars. He has all of their respect. He's legendary, right, as having never been under the influence of Maya. Now, deep into this Srimad Bhagavatam, he's presented the pastimes of, what is her? Radhika Vinod, the one who, Yadamiya Mahima Sri Bhagavatam Katayam Pratipatam Anubhutam Apya Labdavideya Tadakila Rasamurti Shyamalila Avalambam Madhura Rasadi Sri Radha Padasev Sevanamritam. Anyway, same thing, Prapadye. That now very cautiously, carefully, systematically, step by step, Sukadev Goswami has presented the confidential pastimes of Sri Sri Radha Krishna and the Braja Gopis as the ultimate and highest expression of the Supreme Truth, of the Supreme Reality. Hinted at in the beginning, janmad yasya yataha, adi rasa. It's culminating in the presentation of adi rasa. Why? Narada had condemned Vyas by saying, although it was not your intention, you've not presented things in such a way as to give people the impression that they have some prospect in the upper world, what will later become Muktir Hitvanyata Rupam Swarupena Vibhastiti, this Krishna Das, this Jive Swarupa. What is the possibility for loving exchange of the Swarup of the Jiva? You've not indicated that clearly. So inadvertently, you're leaving people with the impression that the only plane for sensual activities, sensuous expression, is in this world, right? Not in the Paramatma world. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabyate. Later that will come in the Bhagavatam. And those slokas, the first one, Janmad Yasya Yataha, Sambandhigyan, Dharma Prochita Kaita Bhotra Sloka Abhideya and Nigama Kalpatur Galitam Palam Shukamukaram Ritadrava Samyatam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhubi Bhavukaha. The Prayojan Tattva. Right? Again, that nectarine substance. As Guru Maharaj mentioned in the 12th canto, where it references the pastimes of Kurma Avatar, Prishte Manda Giri Gravagya Kanduyanam, Brahmya Manda Mandare Giri Gravagya Kanduyanam, Nidralo Kamatakrite. Why this is being referenced at the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam? Because in the 8th canto, Mohini Murti, and the devas and the asuras, they're searching for Amrita, the ultimate nectarine substance. We think, in a general sense, so that means immortality, the gods, and they were searching to become immortal. They don't want to die. Right? Saying that would not be the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Maybe that would be in another Purana, or the same pastime presented in another place. That cannot be the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. That you'll achieve, we'll say, oh no, Nitya Krishna Das. Yes, if we take immortality, Swarupena Bibhastiti, that you have a prospect of a life in relationship and love with Krishna. Yes, that idea. Not just live forever. Gee, I'm going to die. How can I live forever? Oh, go to Allahabad and get some nectar. Go and bathe during the Magh Mela, the Kumbh Mela, and then you'll get free from, you know, suffering, all the negative effects of karma. That can never be the message of the Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam. That would be a non-amal. what's the opposite? Anyway, mal in Romance language is bad, spotted. Right. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, Guru is saying, so the reason it's referencing this pastime there and saying, yes, Madhura Rasa is the ultimate nectarine substance. We know from Freud, that the erotic principle is what's driving material existence, if we want to summarize him in a nutshell. Right? This truth he stumbled upon. The erotic principle, the driving force of existence. Right? There are many other things he said. People thought he's gone too far with his conclusions. But this he should be given some credit for. Madan, Cupid, Eros, everyone, we're told, who but the Narnarayan Rishi is under the influence of this principle in the material world. That's the driving force. Simultaneously, we're told, of the Sandigita, Urdva Mulam Adashakam, it's a perverted reflection of the spiritual reality. So that means, through inversion, it must have some representation there. But how to get from here to there? Right. This, Guru Maharaj explained it, why Madan Mohan is the Sambandha Gyan deity. Jayatam Surato Pango Mama Mandu Matergati Matsarvasva Padambojo Sri Radha Madana Mohano. Madan Mohan, because everyone in the world is bewildered by Madan, Cupid. Right? And that's what has a stranglehold, Hridrogam, has a stranglehold on the heart. The heart, under such constraint, is unable to release its natural flow, love toward the Supreme Entity. And rather, in the words of Srila Swami Maharaj in his Gita purport, the natural love of God, that Krishna Prem, is being pervertedly manifested as a lust for matter. Right? Persons, places, things of this world. That's how it's being expressed, with varying levels of magnitude and intensity. So it's a perverted manifestation of that tendency or that principle. So the Sambandha Gyan Acharya and the Sambandhagyan deity, Madan Mohan, means Kandarpakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham, Shobana Krishna. How beautiful is Krishna? Kandarpakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. If 10 million cupids were personified as one, then that would give you a hint of the inconceivable Achintyaguna Surupam of Shyamasundara Krishna. Right? So that beauty which is, can bewilder 10 million cupids as well, right? Madan Mohan means by inference also that Madan Mohan, the beauty of Krishna, can break the stranglehold of mundane attraction with implied, inferred potential through Abhideya Prayojan Tattva. Understand? So it can break the mundane attraction, redirecting us toward Krishna conception with this sort of potential implied, which is given in the Prayojan Tattva sloka. Sriman Rasa Rasarangbi Bhangshi Bhatta Tatastita Karshan Venu Swanai Gopi Gopinatha Sriyestona. Karshan Venu Swanai Gopi. The irresistible attraction of the sound of the flute of Krishna that's breaking all of these layers of mundane barriers to Krishna conception. Just as Rupa Goswami in his famous sloka, what is it? Rundan ambu vitashtamatkati param kurvam muhustumburum dhyanad antarayam sanandana mukham vishmapayam vedasam otsukya balibirbalim Bogendram Agurnayam Bindam Anda Abhito Bad Brahma Bhangshi Dwani. Saying, what are the effects of the sound of Krishna's flute? It's breaking the eightfold coverings of the layers of the universe. What is it? The world of misconception. We're thinking again in terms of graphics. There's Krishna and he's playing this flute and then the sound's going like this and then there's a big circle with eight layers on it and then it breaks one, it breaks another. And that's okay too. I mean, it's better than no conception at all. But what is this world? But it's a world of misconception. Those layers, as Gromer said, iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. These eight layers are like that. They're built upon misconception. So through Sambandha Gyan, reconceptualization, properly reconceiving things under the guidance of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vaishnav, even here, Iha Yasya Harir Dasye Karmana Manasagira Nikalashvapi Avastashu Jivan Mukta Su Uchite, even while living, where you are, you can connect to that plane. Sravanam Mangalam Srimad Atatam, the wealth that's to be discovered in hearing about Krishna and his pastimes. Right? So, and what does it say in here? Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nama Sadhanaika Nishchayam. What happens in the association of devotees? We hear the holy name of Krishna, Nama Rupa Guna Leela. Pravishta Karna Rundrena Swanam Babam Soro Ruham. That's the beginning of the Krishna conception entering the hearts, the deep heart's core through divine sound. So what does it say? That sound, Rundan Ambu Bhutras Tamat Kurvan Muhu, that so beautiful that Brahma is astonished. He's created everything. He doesn't remember creating this. This isn't in his inventory of things that he created. The leader of all the Gandharvas, the singers, Tumburu, he knows all the rags, the beautiful sounds, the melodies, the singers. He's never heard anything this wonderful. And who, the Kumaras, who their meditation is never broken, cannot be broken by anything, right? Suddenly, they're unable to concentrate. Right? That's another implication that it is not some mundane thing. Tasyaravinda Nayana Shapadaravinda Kinjalka Misra Tulasi Makaranda Bayu Antargata Svavivara. When it enters their system, they become transformed. Otsukya. And so it's showing this sound, and it's going from the highest part to the lowest part, to Bali Maharaj, and then to Bogindra, Anantadev. I told Ananta on his thousands of hoods, holding all the planets, hearing the sound, he begins to sway, intoxicated with the sound, and it looks as though the planets are going to collide and become displaced. How powerful is the flute sound of Krishna? So, Madan Mohan up to Gopinath, Karshan Venu Swinai Gopi, Gopinatha Sri Estuna. So, although that's the Prayojan Tattva Sloka, right? Rasa, talking about the Rasa dance, entering the Rasa dance. Sometimes Guru Maharaj will say, the Nam Sankirtan of Mahaprabhu, as Navadvipa is Vrindavan in distribution, Gaurlila is Krishna Lila in distribution, the Nam Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, that is the Rasa Lila in distribution. But only Srila Guru Maharaj can say this, he says, with this regard, in a mysterious way, that we always find the highest thing in the middle position. So there's Sambandha, the Prayojan, but in the middle, Dibyad Brindaranya Kapa Drumadha, Srimad Ratnagara Simasanasto, Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devo, Prestalabhi Sevyamano Smarami. Srila Guru Maharaj says, the Rasa Lila, you think, well, that is Gopinath, and that is general. All groups are there. So what we can is inconceivable achievement, attainment. Guru Maharaj thinks still everyone is there. That we see three, what does it say? 3 billion or more, trillion. It can be so many. You think, but in the Govinda Dev Sloka it says, Prestali Bi Sevyo Mano Smarami. There with a selected group. When here it says Radhika Vinod, we're told by Srila Guru Maharaj, and Gayatri Basya Rupo Sho Vedartha Paribringhita. What is this all leading to? The Veda, the tree of the Veda, the pushpa flower of Vedanta to the fruit of Bhagavatam. If we say, oh, as we told, that Amrita, that nectarine substance, Madhura Rasa, but more specifically, what? Saying, Gayatri Murlista Kirtana Dhanam Radha Padam Dimahi. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, what is Vrindavan proper? Radha Padmankitadam Vrindavan Jaranam. It's that the soil that is embellished with the lotus footprints of Srimati Radharani. So ultimately, Radha Dasyam. And that's why Mahaprabhu saying, when Bhaktivinoda said, so I'm wondering, how can Sri Chaitanya Dev tell, who's such a great scholar, tell all these scholars, the debauchery of Krishna is the highest thing? He said, then a flash came, and I realized, Sri Chaitanya Dev is Krishna. He is Krishna. Svabhaktebhya sudham nijabhajanam mudram upadisham. Krishna wants to reveal this. Right? No less than Krishna. And of course, Guru Maharaj sometimes quote Narahari Sarkar Thakur, who is a particular type of devotee, seeing Mahaprabhu mainly as Krishna. And this famous loka, Gopi Nam Kuchukum Kumena Nichitam Vasya Kim Asyarunam, where he says, I don't recognize your sannyas. If I looked and I see you're that Krishna, that debauched from Vrindavan, and he's become a sannyasi, everyone will laugh. No one can take that seriously. That Krishna's become a sinner. Please, this is too much for me. And you say, but no, look, see, the saffron, you're from the kumkum on the Braja Gopis, your cloth is turned saffron. So please, I can't hear this. So unfortunately, such sweet things expressed by Narhari Sakar Thakur, there's always some group somewhere to misinterpret that and take it in the wrong direction on his Gauranga Nagari. But still, he expressed that. But that's not what Bhaktivinoda Thakur means. It is in the line of Ramananda Sambhad, Rasaraj Mahabhav Dui Ekarup, that Krishna, Rasaraj, as Ramananda, when he says to Mahaprabhu, When we sat first, you looked like the sun dressed in saffron. Right? Hiranyanam Lakshmi Bhavan Abhivavan Angika Rucha Vidyoti Basana. So golden is Gauranga that his saffron cloth is glowing. Saying, but now, deep into our conversation, I'm not seeing the sannyasi, but I'm seeing Shama Goparup, Shama Sundar Krishna. And Mahaprabhu's first response is to say, oh, we've heard of such personalities as you. You are Mahabhagavata. Wherever you cast your glance, you detect Krishna. We've heard about this. You're such a personality. So when you look at me, you're also seeing Krishna. It's not astonishing. Hare Krishna. And Ramananda is saying, no, please don't tease me this way. I'm not finished. I'm not only seeing Krishna, but I see there is a golden girl and her effulgence is enveloping Krishna. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye, Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita Nomi Krishna Sarupam, whom Mahaprabhu, the internal significance of the Gauranga avatar, Sri Chaitanya avatar, is that Krishna enveloped in the heart and halo of Srimati Radharani. Krishna has taken the position of a devotee to show that the devotee occupies the highest position. Mad bhaktya puja abhyadika. That the worship of the devotee takes precedence over all other things. So, we mentioned this in the Rupa Goswami sloka the other day. Sado pasya shimandrita manujukane pranayatam bahadnavadiya sureshanam durgam gati ati shayeno panishadam. What's rare, muhyanti atsuraya, what's rarely achieved by the devas, what the Upanishads can only indicate and the Vedas. Muninam Sarvasam Pranatapatalimam Madhurinam. The ultimate sweetness of Krishna, Pala, is the heart expression of Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis. And Krishna has come to embrace that position. So when we come to Prayojan Tattva proper, Raghunath Das Goswami says, Ashabare Amrita Sindhu Mayi Katanchit Kalo Mayati Gamita Kila Sampratamhi Tam Chet Kripa Mayi Vidasa Shinaiva Kimme Prane Brajena Chabororu Bakarinapi. That ultimately our focus is Radharani in the primary position and Krishna in the secondary position. That's why it comes back to Govinda Dev. Das Goswami is a Rupa Anuga. He's a follower of Rupa Goswami. Govindadeva is the deity of Rupa Goswami. Prestalibi Sevyamana Smarami, the ultimate pastimes are indicated there, and where the highest quality and magnitude of remuneration is possible in Radha Dasyam, service of the holy lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So whatever Srila Guru Maharaj will say, it has to be thematically consistent with what he always says. The language may be stilted or sometimes non-understandable or indecipherable, but we can understand from what he consistently says thematically to interpret things along those lines. Hare Krishna. Any other question?
There's a question from viewers that our gurus advise us not to read Mayavadi philosophy. Why? Because one is it's also part of the truth.
Yeah, well, actually, it's Mahaprabhu. It says, Mayavadi Bhashya Shunile Hoy Sarvanash. It's not just a question of oneness. Mayavadi at the basis is saying that you're God. So it's a little different than just talking about oneness. Right? Mayavadi philosophy is denying the personality of Godhead and everything we discussed, the possibility of a relationship, a loving relationship. So no rasa, and with saying what? Soham, that rather than being a servitor of Krishna, that great thing, that Brahma, hung Brahmasmi, I am that. So the bottom line is, it's a philosophy that says, I am God. So it eliminates the personality of Godhead. So therefore, Mahaprabhu is saying, hearing this is like poison for the soul. But in terms of oneness, Mahaprabhu has a chintya bheda bhed, simultaneously one and different. Right? Once, and to stay in theme in what we're talking about, Srila Guru Maharaj was explaining the meaning of different sannyas names. So he wanted to explain a name, Bhakti, Aloka, Paramadvaiti. So the name Parama Advaiti says supreme oneness. Right. And the end of the Bhagavatam too, it says Ekat Atma Lakshanam Prayojanam. It appears to be saying, and then Parikit Maharaj, he merged into the one. So Guru said, all the Mayavadis go, yay! You know, look, after all this talk about Krishna, and in the end he merged into the one. And what does it say in the Bhagavad Gita? Vishate Tadanandaram. Then you enter into the unlimited, you merge into the unlimited. Right? Not so fast. Hold that thought. So Guru said, yes, Parama Advaiti, oneness, that is the highest conception. Aloka, in the light of that oneness, everything will be revealed. And what is that? Bhakti Aloka Parama Advaiti is saying, as we told, Rasaraj Mahabhav Duyekarup, when Radharani and Krishna become one as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is the supreme oneness. In the light of that conception, everything can be revealed. So, why we abhor Mayavad is it's telling that Krishna is Maya, all his devotees are Maya, the deity is Maya, everything is illusion. Right? All the things that are near and dear to the devotees, Krishna and Karshna, all Maya. That's what Mayavad is saying. It's just all illusion. And this one man was telling me, and Navadvip who subscribe to that. He's saying, and even you don't exist. And I said, then who are you talking to? Why are you talking to me? It's all one, but who are you talking to? That's what Guru Maharaj said about Shankara. Who are you? Who have you come to preach to, this idea that everything is one? If what you say is true in the way that you think it is true, who are you talking to? Who are you trying to convert? So really, ultimately, it's expressed by those who are envious of Krishna. Aruhya krishchena param padam tatak patanti adho anadrita. Anadrita jasmayad angriya. Who are unwilling to worship the lotus feet of Krishna. Unwilling to bow their heads to the Supreme Entity. And have rather bought into the illusion that they themselves are supreme. Right. That's why a reflection of this is in secular humanism. So you have people, you know, on the internet, I rule. Right. They think, I'm number one, I'm the best. Right? Whatever I like is best for everyone. That would be fine if you were the supreme absolute. Then, you know, we could say, oh, well, maybe. But that some tiny, finite living being thinks that they are the, by extension, the ultimate and absolute good. Whatever they like is good for everyone. Right? It's laughable, if it wasn't, I guess, pathetic. Right. So, when Guru Maharaj speaks on these subjects, he likes to use Hegelian terminology. Reality is for itself and by itself. The absolute truth, the supreme entity, must be for himself and by himself. Right. But what is his nature? Anandamaya Vyasat, full of joy, happiness, anandam. And that implies loving exchange, relationship. Right. So Mayavad denies us the possibility of having a loving relationship with Krishna. Right. So Rupa Goswami, in comparison to Bhakti Rasa, talks about Brahmananda, spiritual happiness of realizing the spiritual oneness of everything, Brahmananda. Brahmananda bhavedesha chetparadha gunikrita naiti bhakti sukhambodhe paramanu tulamopi. Rupa Goswami said, if you take that pleasure of Brahmananda, and of which is so great, what do we hear? That Jamuna Yadavadi Mama Cheta Krishna Padaravinde Nava Navarasa Damuna Jata Rantu Masid. He's saying that in comparison which the highest mundane pleasure, as we were talking before, erotic pleasure, is nothing compared to Brahmananda. Rupa Goswami says, if you multiply Brahmananda a trillionfold, it's not equivalent to an atomic fraction of the pleasure derived from Bhakti Rasa. That's how one of the statements in the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So to deny the possibility of that sort of pleasure or happiness is intolerable to devotees and hellish. They can't conceive of that. Kaivalyam narakayate. And what to speak of, why devotees are guided in a particular way. why the guru, the guide, give them particular literature for their edification to gradually bring them in the right direction. We're speaking of Sanatan Goswami as the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya, and we see how step by step he's presenting things, particularly in the Brihad Bhagavatamritam. So he's been designated as such by Mahaprabhu. It's Mahaprabhu himself who forbids Mayavadi Bhasya Sunilais Hoit Sarvanash. So we shouldn't take those things lightly. Hare Krishna. Hari Haraya Namakrishna Yadavaya Namah.